scribes put above Psalm 103 that David wrote it. Now, the inscriptions are not inerrant Bible words, but most people just agree that the scribes from long ago would know better than we do. So if they say David wrote it, that's usually the conclusion they go along with it, that David wrote Psalm 103. He probably was much older than a kid out there watching sheep, because some of the words he looks back upon the past years. And Psalm 103 makes a good Thanksgiving sermon, and we're after Thanksgiving, but it gives a list of things for which David blesses God. We'll start out with just verse 1, which we'll probably likely know, and the music did fit very good. Psalm 103, verse 1, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." Now, nearly all the commands in the Bible are from God to us. This is commanding self. David was commanding self and giving us an example. The command to himself and indirectly to us is to bless the Lord. We know the Hebrew, Barak as a name, Baruch as a related family word. This church used to be called years ago Baraka Bible Church, which is a good name. It means Blessings Bible Church. Although our culture doesn't understand Hebrew very well, so when you say Baraka, they don't understand it, but that's kind of what's being used here, is blessing. Greek for blessing is eulogio. We get eulogized from it. So it's kind of saying, say good things about God, O my soul. Now, reference is to all that is within me. We can think about dividing the different parts of human nature. We can say body, soul, and spirit. Yeah, probably is true if we want to divide it, the physical part. Soul is usually that which relates to other people, and spirit is usually that which relates to God, if the Bible wants to be precise and divide them. Sometimes it does, like Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is quick, or we'd say living and powerful, like a two-edged sword dividing the soul and the spirit. But here, there really is no division. They're all lumped together. Everything within me, bless his holy name. I do like the theological division. It's not so much Bible words, but mind, emotions, and will. Mind, I think. Emotions, I feel. Will, I choose. I think, I feel, I choose. Not so much a Bible, coming out of the Bible, but I think a good thought that a lot of theologians. All that is within me that I think, all that is within me that I feel, all that is within me when I make choices, bless his holy name. Holy means separated. We can think of separate in abilities, and separate from sin. God is separate from us in abilities, way above, not in the same category at all. He knows everything, omniscience. He is everywhere, omnipresent. He has all-powerful, omnipotent, separate in abilities. Separate from all sin, and separated from we who all have sinned and fallen short. So, command, say good things about God, all that is within me, I think, I feel, I choose, his holy name, above and beyond us in ability, separate from us in terms of morality. Ends with name, Hashem. Now, Jews today try not to say God's name, but the Bible authors do, and we're going to have it. When we get to verse 6, the Lord, YHWH, we've lost the vowels, usually say Yahweh. They are not afraid to write the Lord in verse 6. They was not afraid to write the Lord in verse 8. And Christians are not afraid to say the Lord. The Jewish people say Hashem or the name. A lot's in the Bible on the name. About as many as received him, to them gave the authority to become the children of God, even to those that believe on his name. It's coming out of the stress of his name. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Romans 10:13. Also, Peter on Pentecost. Basically, it means person. So a command to self in verse 1. David's talking to himself, but talking to us as he writes this music. And say good things about God, all that is within me. I think, I feel, I choose. Bless his holy way above us in abilities. Bless his holy, separate from sin. Bless his name. Now the opposite, the close of verse 2 would be to forget everything. So let's read verse 2. Petition, bless the Lord, O my soul. Then the opposite, forget none of his benefits. Must be easy for humans to forget what God has given. I think it is very easy, and so David's reminder is very good, and when we, say, have a Thanksgiving Day, or when we remind each other of the good things of God, it's right, because human nature is to forget. Bless the Lord, O my soul, I do think would make a Jewish person who first read this think of Deuteronomy 6. That we use for our scripture reading. Now, although Deuteronomy 6 doesn't have the word blessing in it, it is blessing God. And secondly, it talks about all that is within me. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and might. So all that is within me would make a Jewish person think of Deuteronomy 6. So there are many ways of saying good things about God, but I do think there is the connection of Deuteronomy 6. All that is within me would think of Deuteronomy 6, and so would the idea of don't forget would make a Jewish person think of Deuteronomy 6. I have a copy of Deuteronomy 6 in front of me, and right after, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and your mind, right after that, like verse 12, then watch yourself that you not forget the Lord. That's Deuteronomy 6:12. And all through chapter 7, 8, and 9, you're going to get into this land, and you didn't build it, but it's a land of milk and honey, and you'll have everything. And the tendency Moses warns in Deuteronomy 6:7-8, you will forget. So there are ties back to Deuteronomy 6. I would think that verse 1 would make them think of loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and might, because all that is within me is to say good things in verse 1. And I would think verse 2 would make them think of Deuteronomy 6, where Moses warns, don't forget all the good things. You'll be near to that land, and you'll have everything, and then you'll just say, my strength did all this. My wisdom did all this. My effort did all this. Well, human efforts are necessary but not sufficient. And the blessings do come from God. Now, verse 3 starts to list a couple of them. First part is spiritual. Second part is physical. Let's read verse 3. Who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Now, he's going to say in a minute, as far as the east is from the west, the things have been removed for believers. So that will go along with pardons all your iniquities. If I can repeat, there is forgiveness with God as judge and forgiveness with God as father. And they're both forgiveness, but they're different kinds of forgiveness. With God as judge, we are forgiven by trusting in Jesus as Savior. And then Colossians 2:13, he has forgiven you all trespasses, past, present, and future, before God the judge. Forgiveness of everything. That's where this fire removed from the east and the west is going to come from. So when we trust in Jesus as Savior, we are forgiven before God the judge. No condemnation. Remember Romans 8:1? There should be no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Or John 5:24, he that believes in the one who has sent me has passed, already done, from death unto life, and shall not come into condemnation. Believers have already been forgiven by God the judge. Then he becomes the father. Now the father won't execute. The father would chastise. It's a different category of forgiveness. I keep repeating this because in our world they're often just bundled together. They're just thrown together. Forgiveness before God the judge is for everything. It comes by trusting in Jesus. Then is the father. He won't give the death penalty anymore, but he might chastise. He might spank. So there's fellowship forgiveness, and this comes by confessing sins. When they get merged, it's common to merge them. Then you have this thought. Well, believing in Jesus might take care of all the sins up to the point of believing in Jesus, but after that, there's all these other sins. And what if a person dies and they're not forgiven yet? That is a very common theological viewpoint. And it just leaves people in insecurity. What about the latest ones? Well, when we trust in Jesus as Savior, we're already forgiven before God the judge. No condemnation. Forgiveness after that is true. But it's like as a father. And there won't be eternal punishment. There won't be the death penalty from the Father. We're believers, but there could be chastisement, so we do confess our sins. He pardons all iniquities. There'll be more on this in a few verses. Heals all your diseases. I think the best thing to do with this is to say this is written from a person who is still healthy. It is true of everybody who is healthy. To give thanks for health, because if we're healthy, God is a factor in it. So this doesn't leave out the fact that David did die. He got old and died, but at the time he's writing this, he's thanking God that he's been healthy to this point, who heals all your diseases. Now, verse 4 and 5, that has come down into English slang, where we say it's in the pits. Came all the way down here to 2021. Let's read verses 4 and 5. Who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Well, pit obviously comes from Joseph, where his brothers threw him in the pit. David repeated it here. When we study Jeremiah in the Sunday school out here, we'll get to Jeremiah 38, where his enemies will throw him in the pit. In the pits, made it all the way into English in our time. I don't know whether when we hear that phrase, everybody out there thinks of Joseph, but I'm pretty sure that's where it comes from. And Joseph and David and Jeremiah. And David was saying, I am not in the pits. David, at the time he was writing, was still working hard. He was happy with being crowned with loving kindness and compassion. And we will get to loving kindness and compassion later in verse 8. But I think David is probably a long older than a teenager out there with a sheep, and he's probably thinking about the years as being a king. And when he's older, he's thinking about all the satisfaction he's had down through the years, and also strength renewed like an eagle. Isaiah 40:31 is the most common one for that. Those who wait on the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. But it's also here in Psalm 103. I would think the strength of an older person could be health, but usually, and it was true of David, they couldn't go chase bears around. They couldn't go chase lions around. But the strength of the youth would be goals, trying, working hard, incentive, motivation of a young person, even though he was older. And if we look at Chronicles, he was preparing for that temple. While he was old and might not be able to go whack on the lions anymore, he was still preparing for his son to build that temple. And there's chapter after chapter of getting the materials ready to build and getting the choir ready to sing. So I would say, youth renewed like an eagle right here would not all be running and jumping, but it would be all the way into his older age he was trying. Getting ready to pass it on, by the way. I like 2 Chronicles 6:8, but the Lord said to my father, it was in your heart to build a house for my name. You did well, it was in your heart. You're not going to be able to do everything you wanted to do, but it's good you thought that way. And I would say that's like youth renewed like an eagle. Verses 6-8, the Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the son of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness. Well, he knows oppression because Saul hurt him when he was young, threw a spear at him. David had to hide. But now he's praising God in his older age. The Lord is, and there's four things here, compassionate. That word comes from a mother's womb, reckon. Really kind of strange, but every time in the Bible there's a compassionate means God actually loves like a mother would love babies. It's a different illustration. Now, he's always called Father, Abba Father, translated Father, and there's going to be a verse shortly where dads have compassionate too, but both men and women, ultimately the image comes from God. So he has all these traits in both tendencies, including like a mother would take care of babies. He's gracious. That means undeserved favor. We get the word name Hannah from that. Some guys drop the H and say Anna. Slow to anger. That is really a weird illustration. But in the Bible, when they say anger, it means a hot nose. Can't do it very good. Like a dog growling at you. Or a hot nose. That's the Hebrew idea for anger. Cool down. Cool down. God is cool down. Abounding in loving kindness. Important word, loving kindness. It means keeping promises. It's like a wedding vow or a covenant with God. He keeps his promises. He won't break up. So David is saying, bless the Lord. And he thinks about all this stuff. Pardons all your diseases and crowns you with loyal love. And crowns you with graciousness. And he's like a loving mother. and gets us out of all the past wrongs, and David can look back when he's been a victim, and he can say it's okay now. Verse 9 continues forgiveness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor reward us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. Well, verse 10 would say David was doing better than he deserved, and we're doing better than we deserve. Isaiah 59, God looked and saw that there was no intercessor. There was no other answer. Therefore, Isaiah 59's own arm brought salvation. Kind of like God, the Son, rolled up his sleeves to do something about it. And when we have trusted Christ as Savior, sins are removed. And going sideways, as far as you can see, it's east from the west. If you want to go down, you do Micah 7:19, they're thrown into the depths of the sea and they're sinking. Sins are removed. All sins before God the judge are over with when trust in Jesus as Savior. Now there's God the Father, and confession is true, but that's God the Father. And God the Father reference continues, verse 13. For as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord will have compassion on us who fears him. For he himself knows our frame, he is mindful we are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind has passed over, it is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer. But the loving kindness, loyal love, keep that covenant, is from the Lord, is from everlasting to those who fear him. And I think he blesses the relatives of those who are believers in the final verse 17 and 18. Now, compassion would be the important topic, but what is this compassion about here? We're going to die. That's how the subjects are related. God has compassion, specifically here, he has compassion, we're going to die. We're going to be like dust. We're going to be like a fading flower. So God has compassion. Good thing, where do we be without Jesus? We'd be in trouble. We are mortal. And there wasn't any answer to it except the Savior came and made an answer to it. The specific compassion here is about mortality. When we get to verse 17, God will keep his loyal love to believers forever and ever. This always reminds me of the Pharisees and the Sadducees in Jesus' day disagreed about whether there was a resurrection from the dead or the afterlife. It's fascinating. The people who were in the temple in Jesus' day were liberals. They didn't believe in life after death. They didn't believe in the resurrection, but they had their big religious services anyway. Kind of like a few other denominations out there, but the liberals ran the temple in Jesus' day, and they would say there isn't any life after death in the Old Testament. So Jesus said, have you not read in the book of Moses in the burning bush where he said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Now it means this. When Moses stood at the burning bush, God said, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are still around, and I'm still their God. He didn't say, I was their God 500 years ago before they died, but I am their God. And Jesus said, he is the God of the living, and nobody dared ask him any more questions. Because he showed that there was life after death, in the story of the burning bush that God still was the God of the living Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There are others. Daniel 12 says that a tribulation is coming and that many, because he's talking about believers in the dust, will awake. So Daniel 12, 1 and 2. I think verse 17 does. The loyal love from God is forever. Because he knew we were going to die and he wanted to do something about it. So the Pharisees correctly said there is life after death in the Old Testament. More in the New Testament. But the compassion here is, bless the Lord, O my soul, to say something good about him, because we are dust. We are fading flowers. But God did something about it. He had compassion, and he will give us loyal love forever. Life after death, David knew it. Moses knew it. More in the New Testament. Well, very good. Let's try a little book report. Hopefully a lot of you got book reports on the way in. We won't take too long on this. Anybody not get book report materials? Can you, did everybody get it? Okay. Now, every year I give a little report of what we did in 2021. Susan talked a little bit about this last week, and Gloria helped, and Connie helped, and Becca helped. And the Cox is using the warehouse. The church is like a little business running the warehouse. And Cooper's helped the previous year. Previous year, we sent 10,000 books out to all to 13 states around us, and also lots of college and seminary libraries. Third paragraph, this last year, 2021, we sent 10,000 more out. Now, I had to decide, do we do 13 other states, every single library, or do we do all the rest of them and just do it while the inventory lasts? That's the way we went. So 13 states, all the libraries have been sent books. All 50 states, all the towns of about 20,000 or above in California with lots of people, or about 5,000 or above in the lower population states. And just try to spread them around. We sent them to about 1,000 Christian schools. That gives us what to do in 2022. Some year-end giving has come in. You can see in the bulletin how much has come in. We will see later on. We won't make them right away. We'll see how much. I do know that the person that has printed a lot of them is retiring. Got one more month to work. There will be new people. We will know more about printing them all and the cost later. We can decide, and I listen to your opinions, do we keep doing the public libraries in all the little towns, or do we start with the churches? If we start with the churches, I'd go West Texas and North Texas first and see how long it lasts. Bible churches and Baptists are a lot like us in doctrine. Catholics like the books. So I don't know. I put them on the list too. They just kind of odd. They do. They like Jesus and history. I put down there St. Mary's, the guy that's the priest of St. Mary's. When he was at St. Mary's, is now at WT. At the St. Anne's there in Canyon, and he read the books. I may go ask him, can we help the students? Later, eventually, I may do all digital, but I don't know how to do it in the sense of I don't know who to ask. We could put some funding into digital promotion. I don't know who to ask. You know, maybe CZ, but we'll see. Now, some of the replies, if you'll turn the page. Amy Coney Barrett was new to the Supreme Court, so I thought I would send her son, her reply. Over time, we've done some of the other ones, so all the conservatives, relative conservatives on the Supreme Court should have, at least the books named here. I don't send theology books to them. Then, Separate is a French letter. Now, this came after I stapled these together about 10 days ago. This came, and I heard Emmanuel Macron in France say, we have to do something about mental health in France. We have to do something about suicides in France. So I came to church and mailed them over there, and couldn't be worse, could never hear at all. So if we met all, this guy is the chief of staff. That would be like Mark Meadows to Donald Trump or Ronald Klain to Joe Biden. So it's the chief of staff saying, we got them. We probably will never know anymore. But they didn't throw them away. So that was good. Now, if you'll turn the pages of the stapled notes, here are some of the colleges writing back. Denton, University of North Texas, Dallas, University of Texas at Dallas, Georgetown, if you flip a page, Idaho State, they got my name wrong, at least it's not Water Horse. One time when I was running track in high school, they said Water Horse is your name too. Very good. Okay, next one is a Christian school, no doubt Episcopalian, because it's Cambridge School of Dallas, and here's their principal writing back. And the next page I thought would be interested because Las Vegas Public Library, there we go. It usually works, the hardest has been Seattle. They're the hardest. They emailed and called, don't send any books on Jesus. So I called them right back, and I didn't talk with the local librarian. I talked with the head person. They said, these books are in the library of the college you graduated from. So if you don't want them, send them all back. I'll pay return postage. I don't know. We never got any back. But the head librarian seemed a little better than the branch librarian who was giving us the nasty replies. So we'll see. We can turn the page. This is California. What I liked about San Bernardino County Library is they put a Bible verse on their letter. Very good. Overcomers. Next one is Louisiana, St. Charles. Next one is another Christian school in California. And next one is on the other side in Virginia. And it's getting to be fast. But the last one, this lady called and said, I've got family in Chicago. I've got mentally ill relatives. I live in Alabama. I need books to send to my family in Chicago. And she says she ultimately gave them all to the pastors in Alabama. We will see what happens this next year. I think there is a funding to do some, maybe not all yet, but it's not the end of the year. And we will see, and it'd be good to have your opinion. I would guess towards going towards the churches in West Texas and North Texas. Can't do all the libraries yet. We'll see how it goes. And the printer retired. Well, very good. Will the choir please come?